Hey everyone, this is Tennyson King. I am coming to Revelstoke to play at Revy Live Outside on Thursday, August 7th. I'm super stoked to come out. I play indie folk music with a bit of a traditional Chinese fusion. I'll have my keyboard player and my drummer out with me, so it's going to be a three-piece show. And I'm really stoked to play to all you folks and sing to the mountains. So hope you come out.
Spent all my money on a moving bed, with my whole life in the back. I'm coming up on empty. I'm a rubber tramp, burning time alone. Made a right, left before. Got to close. It's a golden stamp on a postcard I send home. I'm a rubber tramp, time to move on. I'm already gone. The highway signs are lying to me. Three more towns to flee, and that's when it hit me. I'm a rubber tramp, burning time alone. Made a right, left before you got too close. It's a golden stamp on a postcard I sent home.
Okay, so the weirdest gig I've ever played. I don't know if it's weird. I guess weird is kind of subjective of the type of person, but I'll tell you some cool. I once actually played on a Navy, not a Navy, sh a naval ship, the French naval ship in Auckland, New Zealand, which was a pretty cool experience. I had just finished a tour in Australia, and then I went out to Auckland for a couple of days off. And my friend was friends with the captain of the French Navy, and they were happened to be parked in Auckland doing their I think Navy ships just park in different countries for a bit and they hang out and stuff. And they were about to depart. So before they depart, they usually have this huge party to thank the country and everyone around, locals, for welcoming them to the city. So, and then they asked me to play a gig for their kind of going away party. And that was pretty cool, just playing on like the helicopter landing area of this like French Navy ship, and getting a tour of the whole ship was, I'd say, a pretty memorable one.
Why don't you take some time to talk about your style of music and who you are as an artist and maybe some of your biggest accomplishments over the past year?
For the new listeners out there who don't know who I am, my name's Tennyson King. I'm a indie folk artist. That I'm originally from Hong Kong. That's where I was born, and I grew up in Mississauga, Ontario, so just outside of Toronto. And yeah, I write folk music with a bit of like a indie rock kind of vibe, and I also do a fusion of traditional Chinese instruments with that music as well. And I write songs that are in English, Mandarin, and Cantonese. And a lot of my songs these days are about self-reflection, identity, culture, a lot of travel. I get to travel a lot, so I get inspired by that as well. So a lot of like good road trip songs. I'm actually about to tomorrow, I'm about to fly out to the UK to play at Glastonbury Music Festival, which is a pretty big thing. It's like the world's largest music festival, I think. So I'm pretty stoked about that. I feel I'm very lucky. I feel like I've got had a lot of accomplishments in the past bit. I was just in a tour in Taiwan last month, and I did a week of touring with Ace Anabi, who's a great Indigenous Canadian artist that's blowing up right now. And yeah, so I was out there in Taiwan playing shows and festivals, and I was just in Australia at the beginning of the year playing a couple of big festivals as well. So yeah, just been able to travel a lot around the world and share my music with a lot of different cultures and communities. So yeah, that's for me, that's living the dream.
Yeah, that's quite the accomplishment, man. Congrats on that. Yeah, I'm sure when you were starting out, you probably weren't getting those crazy gigs. So maybe talk a bit about how where you were when you started and how you've gotten to the point that you are now.
Yeah, so I started doing music when about I would say like 8 years ago now, maybe 10. And I moved to the city and kind of did that starving artist life where I just moved and I didn't have money and I worked random crazy jobs at like all hours of the night and the day just so I could work on music during the day and then gig nighttime. And I was just like, doing the grind. I was playing in a lot of different bands, trying to test out what kind of music I liked and what kind of music I wanted to write. And that's how I started off, just playing a lot of different bands around the city of Toronto, gigging literally like every night and every day, sometimes like 2 gigs a day, and learned a lot about playing music and writing music. And eventually I played in a bunch of bands for a while, playing guitar for and piano for bands and touring with them. And eventually I stopped doing that and I just focused on my own music and writing songs that would express things that I was feeling a bit more, which was what I needed at that point in my life. And that was about in 2017 was when I made that switch. So it wasn't too long ago. And the first thing I did was I wrote a bunch of songs and I recorded an album. And then I left Canada and I actually went to Australia for a year. Like I moved to Australia for a year. I bought a van and just lived in that van and I played shows around the entire country for a whole year. I think that year I played like 250 shows or something in Australia, just like driving around playing. And that's what I want to do. I just want to go somewhere unknown and just like explore myself and how I could share my music to a bunch of complete strangers and really find my sound that way. And that was a big thing in my music career of just doing that and being kind of just like overcoming a bit of that fear of expressing myself without worrying about judgment and like especially expressing myself to just a bunch of strangers. So that was a big kind of shift in my musical life of finding the love for travel and music and that as long as I kind of have music, I can go anywhere and share it with people and survive. So that was kind of how everything started. And then since then, I've just been continually writing my own music, trying to record and release albums and touring in a lot of different places. And now, I'm very lucky. I get to play really cool festivals around the world, and a lot of cool shows and play with a lot of great Canadian artists and other artists around the world as well.
Passing through.
page in the age when it all becomes clear.
My most treasured musical possession. I've got, can I give you two? Both of them are actually guitars. One of them is the very, very first acoustic guitar that my dad bought for me when I decided to learn guitar. And it's since been painted on by like a bunch of different friends and people. Like I used to bring it to the cottage, to our friend's cottage, and like, around the campfire for summers, and people like who came would just like paint on it and stuff. So that guitar, I think, I don't know, I wouldn't be able to sell it ever. It's just something, it's, it doesn't sound that great anymore, but it's just something that I think I would have to keep. And then I have another guitar that's a 1952 Epiphone electric guitar, which is like, so it's a very old guitar, and I've taken that guitar to a lot of different places in the world, and yeah, so I'd say those two are my probably two currently most cherished musical instruments.
Hey guys, it's Finn McDowell. I'm going to be playing Revy Live Saturday, August 9th. So please come out and listen to some live music with me, and we'll have a great time.
I've always wondered if I cross your mind when you're driving round with them. Feel kind of stupid that I act all fine with the fact that those girls are just friends. And maybe I'm crazy making excuses to people who know it's a lie. But truthfully, baby, we're temporary. You've already made up my mind. Got me convinced that you're right, but this is common sense. My friends think you're full of it, and how the bar falls so low. I just gotta know how.
My favorite venue that I think I've ever played would probably be in a farm field, actually. There's never been anything like it. I came off stage, walked outside of the tent, and went and petted some horses, and it was like surreal. It was just something about that felt so personal. I had the honor of getting to open on a little tour called the Farm Tour that Michael Bernard Fitzgerald puts on, and he let me open for a couple dates, and so we would go all over a little bit in BC, mostly in Alberta, and go out to people's land. They would invite us out there, and we would play some music in a tent with some nice string lights. It was very intimate, and I love settings like that. I love just being able to connect and see every audience member.
So yeah, let's talk a bit about your music and your songwriting process. Why don't you walk us through what goes into writing one of your songs?
For sure. Well, it's difficult because for me, my songwriting process is different every single time. When I do co-writes with people, it's gonna be the same pretty much every time. There's a bit of a formula, you know. You'll choose a subject, you'll choose the vibe of the song maybe, and then you guys kind of build it step by step from there. Maybe start with a couple lyrics and melody. But when I'm on my own, it's a bit rogue. Like sometimes I'll start with a poem that I decide to put a melody to, but then there will be other times where I'll have a melody that I need to put words to, or maybe like a drum beat that I need to fill in the blanks with, you know. Like it seems to be different every single time, which is kind of actually a little bit frustrating, because I'm like, I don't have a set way. I'm a very particular person, and I like to have my, you know, my schedule, and I like to have, you know, the steps and the routine. But songwriting has always been a place where I never know what's going to happen.
Have you found that your process has evolved over your career as a songwriter?
Oh yeah, 100%. I think specifically it's evolved since I started attending music school at McEwen University in Edmonton here, and I'm doing a songwriting minor, and so I got the chance to work with people for the first time. I'd never really written with other people, and there's something about that changes you as a songwriter when you kind of graduate, pun intended, from go writing in your room to like all by yourself and following your own rules to having to listen to other people's ideas. And it humbles you, and it shows you that there's different ways of doing things, and you have to kind of let go of certain things. So that has been like a huge thing for me, is school and writing with people maybe I didn't want to write with, but eventually I would find out that it taught me something, you know. So at the moment, I only have 4 singles out on all platforms. And that's something I have been desperately working on changing, because I have so much music, especially from school and all my writing, so much music to share, and so much music left to record too. But I do have a lot of things in the works. I won't spoil too much. But in the interest of what you can expect from me in the future, I would say, expect an evolved version of Finn. This is, you know, the music that I have released now is written when I was about 16. So obviously it's been quite a while, and a lot has happened in my life, and I've changed a lot. A lot of genres have started influencing me. I went to jazz school. There's going to be a lot of eclectic sounds coming in there. So just like, you know, yeah, look forward to hearing something you might not expect.
Do you have a most treasured musical possession?
I mean, I think every musician would say that they love them all equally, like parents do with their children or something like that. But I would say I really cherish my keyboard, because it was given to me by my grandparents when I was about 7 years old, and I never knew where that keyboard would take me. It's traveled with me all over Alberta, and to the point where I've actually kind of broken it. I've broken the stand a little bit, so I can't pack it up anymore, but that's where I learned how to play piano for 8 years. It's where I wrote my first song, and if my grandma was still here, she would be very happy with her purchase, I think. So it means a lot to me.
Hi, I'm Amy Nelson, and I'm playing Revy Live on August 10th, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you. start here affection, but your actions leave me bruised. I'm an educated woman, I know just when I'm being used. I've been north and I've been south, from the hilltops to the lakes. Every road on which I ran, I made my own mistakes. Oh, yes I did, yes I did, yes I did, yes I did, yes I did. You can try to understand me, you can't put me in your plans. Call me a woman of the country, I just don't know these lands. Won't believe in anything unless it's what I've seen. Well, away here's the cold dark night that the world is cruel and mean. Oh, yes I am, yes I am, yes I am, yes I am.
Sing about my feelings mostly, but I tend to write songs about the days that I have where I'm unhappy, because I feel like when I'm happy, I don't want to pick up the guitar and I kind of want to just experience life. So a lot of my songs are about things that have made me mad, but I try to explore those feelings in sort of an empowering way. So my music sounds, it's not sad sounding. It's very, I find it to be like, if you were listening to it and you had a bad day, I feel like we can kind of share the experience together, whether that means we're going to dance together through it or we're going to rage together through it. I'm really inspired by old blues and hill country music. And a lot of that music is groove and kind of drone centric. So it kind of has a repeating line that kind of is hypnotic and you can kind of dance to it. But the lyrics themselves are saying things about, you know, a bad day kind of thing. And so that's kind of what I do.
This is a good opportunity to segue right into your songwriting process. Walk us through how that happens.
So my songwriting process is, it always feels very random. I feel like I'm somebody where I don't have a very good organizational, I don't sit down to plan to write. It kind of falls from the sky for me. So I feel like most of my songs, they just end up happening completely at random. I could be at my parents' house. I could be hanging out with my cat. I could be about to run to get coffee with a friend, and I'll just get something in my head. And then I feel like it's something kind of calling me to sit down and actually write it. But I feel like I'm not very good at being somebody that's like, oh, I really want to write a song and I'm going to chisel and work at it. Every song that I write within, the hour of writing it. And then I usually, that's what sticks. I don't usually like go back and edit. But for me, I usually start with like a guitar lick or like a riff, and I center it around that. And then the lyrics, usually by that point, they flow. But I'm also someone where like I'm not a prolific songwriter. I feel like I'm someone where maybe I could write two songs a year, but those songs feel like they're very personal and they're very about me. And I think that might be why I'm not always writing, because it feels like you're having to give some of yourself away to do that. But yeah, definitely my songwriting process is very random and kind of just falls from the sky.
Tell us a bit about how you became the musician that you are today.
A great question. I became a musician that I am today because I heard a lady named Ola Bell Reed playing banjo on YouTube, of all things, and she plays like old time banjo. And I had never ever heard the banjo be played like that. I'd never heard music like that before. And I thought, oh wow, this is really incredible and impactful to me. And I immediately was like, I want to play banjo. And by that point, I wasn't songwriting or singing, besides just like we all sing, sing in the shower, sing around the house, but I wasn't like a singer. And I heard her music, and then I was like, I want to learn how to play the banjo. And I think within a week or two of hearing her, I went out and I bought a banjo. And I immediately just spent like every single day practicing it and learning it and trying to refine it and get better at it. And learn all these, this collection of old folk and old time songs. And then I just realized one day where I was playing a show and we were in Lethbridge, Alberta, and they have this vintage guitar store there called Lucky Star Guitars. And I went in and they had these beautiful archtop guitars. And a lot of them were like the expensive, Gibson archtop vintage guitars. But there was this one in there that wasn't a Gibson. And it just like, I was looked at it on the wall and I thought, I want to try playing that. I don't even play guitar. I don't even know how. And when I picked it up, I felt like I could play. Like it was this really weird kind of magical moment of feeling like, even though I didn't know what chords were or anything like that, I picked it up and I just fell in love with it. And I was like, I need to figure out how to afford this. And it was so much cheaper than the Gibsons or any of the other guitars there. But and then from there, I just started kind of teaching myself guitar. And a lot of the guitar playing that I do, I play it kind of similar to how I learned how to play a banjo. So I kind of just like moved that skill set and that learning into guitar, because guitar is like, it's a lot easier to play guitar with a band, and it's a lot easier to write songs, I find, on a guitar, because it's just like there's different endless options with it. And so with banjo, I was really just learning old folk and old time songs. And then I wrote a couple songs on the banjo. And then, yeah, when I found the guitar, I realized like this was the machine that I would do most of my songwriting with.
You were talking about drop D, and I was deciding between two songs, and one of those songs is in drop D. So you informed this decision. So if there's a mistake, it's your fault. This is the latest, most recent song I ever wrote. I wrote it during the pandemic, and I wrote it about hating things, and the title of the song is I Hate It. Back in the nest. It's hard to admit that nothing has changed, and you're the same person you were yesterday. The newscaster's calling, oh, what does he say? Your husband is calling, oh, what does he say? The flowers in the garden are dying in two. They're hungry like I am for a bit of good news. They're hungry like I am for a bit of good news. They're hungry like I am, can't keep wearing these shoes. If somebody listens, teach me to be sweet. I forgot how to listen, only feel good when I eat. I feel it's something new in the air. I hope it means something, but right now I feel bare. I wish I could start over before the harm I done, when I was just a little kid running in the sun. Wish I had could ever erase.
Recording my next record. Like I said earlier, I'm not like the prolific songwriter that writes a whole bunch of songs in a year. So my first record and my only record, Educated Woman, came out longer than I even want to admit. And so at every show, that's the one I'm still, you know, have the merch booth for people to collect and buy. But I am currently working on, I have a whole new batch of songs in a whole different like style. It's definitely has evolved as time has went on. And so I'm working on a next record, which I'm really excited about. And then, yeah, like I'm so busy in the summer that like the Revy Live happens to be kind of a one-off, but I gig like every single weekend. So we kind of decided that this would be the weekend where we would just like maybe enjoy the weekend and kind of have like incorporate a vacation out of it, because Revelstoke is so beautiful that like, you know, play a show, but also just maybe go a couple days early and camp, or just kind of be nice, you know, to do that. Because I feel like, yeah, I've been playing like more festivals this year and more gigs than I ever have. And I absolutely love it. And I never want to turn anything down, but you do sometimes feel like you're in this, you know, kind of race of like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it's already the end of June. And what have I done besides gig to gig to gig to gig? And it's like, I love to do that. Nothing else is as fun to me, and nothing completes me as much as playing music. But yeah, there are times where I'm like, wow, it's another summer and it's just like flying by. So hopefully with the Revy Live one, we can kind of slow down and have some stillness with it while also getting to play music. And I'm looking forward to that.
What's your most treasured musical possession?
My most treasured musical possession is my old Craftsman archtop guitar. And if you ask any of my bandmates or anyone, I literally carry it everywhere I go. I've ate in restaurants that were tiny and was holding my guitar like it was a baby in my lap, you know, spoon and fork in front of me, just to make sure that it stayed in my view and I was protecting it. But 100%, that is my most treasured musical thing.
Hi, this is Sadie Baker. I'm going to be playing at Revy Live Outside on Monday, August 11th, and Pat Spencer is going to be joining me on drums. Hope to see you there.
Okay, ready?
Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces passing, I'm homebound. Staring blankly ahead, just making my way through the crowd. And I need you, and I miss you, and now I wonder if I could fall into the sky. Do you think time will pass me by? You know I'd walk 1,000 miles if I can just see you tonight. It's always times like these when I think of you, when I wonder if you ever think of me. So wrong, and I can't go on living in your precious memory. And I need you, and I miss you, and now I wonder if I could fall into the sky. Do you think time will pass me by? You know I'd walk 1,000 miles if I can just see you. Whoa, 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 I could fall into the sky. Do you think time will pass me by? 'Cause you know I'd walk 1,000 miles if I can just see. I can just hold you tonight.
One of the first questions that I've been asking everyone, what's the weirdest gig you've ever played?
If by weirdest you mean coolest, I played a Ben and Jerry's music festival in England. So we got free ice cream and I got to meet, I think it was Jerry. I met one of them and I got free ice cream. So that was really cool.
What's the best flavor of Ben and Jerry's?
Oh, half baked, in my opinion. Yeah.
So how long have you been in Revelstoke?
5 years.
And have you been playing music here the whole time?
Yeah, pretty much. I think I moved here during the pandemic and I reached out to a few places, and obviously because of the capacity issues, it was quite hard to get some shows. So I feel like the first public one that I did was a night market for the Trading Post when they used to have the yard next to the old Trading Post. And then I also got some shows at the Last Drop. So that was really cool. And I think that would have been like, I guess the night market would have been in September. Yeah, August or September of 2020. And then I think I started playing at the Drop in the November. So.
Were you playing music back home as well before you moved here?
Yeah. So I'm from England, obviously. And I've played music my whole life. I started my first band when I was 15. And then I worked as a session musician. And I was in like a couple of other bands. So I did a lot of like touring and recording and a lot of shows in the UK. And then when I moved to Canada, I basically joined a dueling piano bar in Edmonton. And that was in 2016. And I'd never done anything like that before. It was very different. The way that I'd always done shows was you would have your set list and you would just practice it and make sure it was perfect. And you know exactly what you were going to play. And this was just a whole new concept to me to get up and play requests and not know what I was doing. So that was absolutely terrifying. And it was like, it was a very big, yeah, it was a very big education. It's very different to what I'd done before.
Yeah, I bet that's gotta be a scary feeling.
Yeah.
Now I've seen, I think I saw you at Tadpole last year.
Oh.
And you put on quite the show, and I feel like you must have incorporated part of that into your set. I feel like there was an impromptu piano man at one point, or maybe I'm making that up.
No, you weren't. You were, like, that's true. Because I think there was a guy there who was playing harmonica, so he asked if we could do piano man. So yeah, I think we did. Yeah. That comes up every time I play.
Do you have I know it's kind of a hard question, but do you have a favorite cover to play? Maybe one that gets the best response, and maybe one that you like the most?
Yeah. I really like doing A Thousand Miles by Vanessa Carlton. It's just a really fun song. It's like, it's one of the first pop songs I think I learned on piano, because like before that, previously I'd trained classically. So I really like doing that. It's just fun. And in terms of the most popular, like Piano Man, people like that, and Benny and the Jets, Tiny Dancer, stuff like that. Always crowd pleases.
Yeah, all the classics. I guess that was a bit of a loaded question. I had a feeling that was coming, but why don't we take it back to when you started learning music. Do you have like a favorite teacher from when you were learning, or did you teach yourself? Tell us about how you I got into piano.
So probably my grandma, actually. My grandma was a piano player, and she had a piano, and she basically gave it to me and my sister. So then I think my sister started piano lessons, and then my sister's 3.5 years older than me, and everything she did, I wanted to do. So there's a picture of me at like 18 months playing the piano. So I think I started lessons when I was about 4. And then, yeah, I had the same teacher up until I was like maybe 11. Then I got another teacher, and then I started doing like, as you get higher up through the grades, you just need different teachers for like what you do. And then, yeah, I started vocal lessons when I was about 11. I did music at college, and then I did a music degree as well. So I studied voice at university. So kind of convoluted.
Am I loud and clear, or am I breaking up? Am I still your charm, or am I just bad luck? Are we getting closer, are we just getting more lost? I'll show you mine if you show me yours first. Let's compare scars, I'll tell you whose is worse. Let's unwrite these pages, replace them with our own words. We live on front porches and swing life away. We get by just fine here on minimum wage. If love is a labor, I'll slave till the end. I won't cross these streets until you hold my hand. I've been here so long, think that it's time to move. Winter's too cold, summer's over too soon. Let's pack our bags and settle down where palm trees grow. I've got some friends, some that I hardly know. We've had some times I wouldn't trade for the world. We chase these days down with talks or the places that we will. Swing life away. We get by just fine here on minimum wage. If love is a labor, I'll slave till the end. I won't cross these streets until you hold my hand.
tell us a little bit more about what it's like playing around Revelstoke. And you mentioned before we started that you just had a show in the Okanagan. So tell us about what your schedule is like and what it is like playing music around here.
Oh, honestly, it's wonderful. I love playing music in Revelstoke. I think it's just such an amazing community. I think it's probably, you feel the same. It's really hard to describe if you don't live here. Everybody just lifts each other up. Everyone supports each other. And there doesn't seem to be competition. It just seems to be like everyone supports each other. And I feel like for the first couple of years, because I moved here, I didn't really know anyone. And it was during the pandemic, so I wasn't really meeting musicians either. There was a lot of me kind of reaching out to venues and reaching out to people and stuff like that. But it feels like in the last year, people are kind of reaching out to me more for shows, which has been really nice. I just think there's so many amazing venues here and there's so many amazing programs for musicians. Yeah.
I got one more question for you. What's your most treasured musical possession?
My most treasured musical possession. I have some sheet music of my grandma's. It's the Nutcracker Suite, Tchaikovsky. And it's like falling apart. But yeah, I have a bunch of her old sheet music and it has her writing in it, has a name in it. And yeah, definitely that.
This made me think of one other last question. Going back to your time at school, do you have a piece of music that really frustrated you trying to learn it, but then when you figured it out, you kind of appreciated it more? Like, is there a white whale of yours that was a song that you had to learn during your time in school?
I think it was, I didn't have to learn it, but, and the thing, like, I can't even play it now. It's been so long, but I think I learned like Toccata and Fugue in D minor by Bach. Because I just thought it was really cool. And it took ages. And I learned that. And it was laborious. But it felt really good. But like, I haven't played it in, I hate to say it, but like 20 something years. So yeah.
Hi, I'm Erin Ross. And I will be playing at RevyLive along with my band The Rhythm Method on Wednesday, August 13th. Hope to see you there.
Telling lies, still telling lies. You don't even recognize that you lost a grain of truth. And I believe that it is time for me to leave this ugly mess behind me. Telling lies, still telling lies. vision looms like the ghost of who you were. Broken hearts, broken minds, some wounds do not heal with time, and all you are is empty. You're telling us, still telling us, you don't even recognize. Grain of truth, and I believe it is time for me to leave this ugly mess behind me. I said this ugly mess is behind me.
I play blues and blues-inspired music. Being from Alberta, there's a little bit of country in my soul as well, so that will rear its head every now and again. I'm really inspired by the early finger pickers in the blues, and so there's lots of finger style kind of angle to the blues that I play. But I also have kind of a strong songwriter bent that draws on both the blues and the country tradition. And I delve a little bit into the wonderful world of jazz now and again, too.
I wanted to ask about your songwriting process. And this is something I'm always curious about for blues musicians. You know, from the outside looking in, a lot of the time it's perceived that, you know, it's the same three chords, maybe not the exact same three chords, but it's a lot of traditionally similar progressions. Do you, as a songwriter, feel like you're stuck in that box sometimes? So yeah, maybe if you want to talk a bit about your songwriting process when it comes to, you know, blending country and blues together.
Sure. For me, I think the songs that I feel the most confident about, or the songs that I feel are the most successful songs that I've written, I guess, are songs where the music and the lyrics kind of emerge simultaneous, where I'll just be kind of noodling around on a guitar lick and I'll have a lyrical idea and everything just kind of clicks and rolls from there. As for the other parts of the process, though, it doesn't always happen that way. So I feel like there has to be like some work invested in other things. Like I constantly have a series of different guitar parts that I'm playing, or banjo parts or ukulele parts. I'll have an instrument kind of in hand and be sort of exploring something I can do with that. And then I have, simultaneous to that, kind of an ongoing collection of notebooks where I just have all the lyrical ideas I've ever come up with written down. It might be just one turn of phrase or part of a verse or... And then every so often you kind of try and jimmy something together and see where that goes. And sometimes that's what leads to the inspiration for, I think, a lyric and a musical fit. So I've learned over the years to kind of, you know, keep an open mind and just collect my thoughts as I go, both from the musical side and from the lyrical side. And I play in a lot of different styles. My day job is that I teach guitar and piano and other instruments. So I have lots of opportunity to explore all styles of music and draw inspiration from that as well. So as far as getting boxed into a particular sound, I'm not like a traditionalist when it comes to playing the blues. I sort of think of it more as a filter or an aesthetic on, or an impression that gets left upon the different pieces that I'm working through. I think from the writing perspective, the writing activity has kind of always been the same. I think same as practicing the instrument is a practice, or practicing any instrument is a practice. You like set aside time and you work through the different ideas, you learn pieces. I feel like the writing part for me has always kind of been that way. I just kind of keep on writing and then edit and act and reject and accept different parts of what's happening. And I don't think that for me, I don't think that a longer window of time has really changed that part of the process. There are things that I do differently now as a musician, as far as like the practice of booking my band and those kinds of things. And I definitely feel that I've gotten different insights over time on how some of that stuff works, for sure. A most treasured musical possession. I do. I have the guitar that I first learned to play on that was my mother's guitar, and that I inherited from her when I was about 8 years old. The sad part of the story is that I slipped and fell upon it in a soft-sided case and crushed it. Yet I do have all the pieces still, and it is waiting for a day of some sort of repair. So it's like both my most treasured musical possession, because I think I wrote probably half the songs that I sing now on that guitar. And also like one of the saddest things in my